to title the lesson. When Brother Jonathan read the passage just now, you will recall, and probably your mind is saying, but it's the same passage that was read last week. Is he going to preach the same sermon? Well, nothing wrong if the same sermon is preached 2 weeks. Because Paul encouraged Timothy to practice repetition. That's how we learn. However, the lesson this week will be a totally different lesson from the one last week. And if you choose to give it a title, you may title the lesson, Wrong, Impure Motive is Moral and Spiritual Poison. When whatever we do, our motive is selfish, corrupt. However noble the action that we were engaged in is, that action becomes a sin if our motive is impure. Now, read the passage again for me. Verse 4, Hosea chapter 1, verse 4, because the lesson is around verse 4 plus some other texts. Let us hear the passage.
And the Lord said unto him,
And the Lord said unto him,
Call his name Jezreel.
For call his name Jezreel.
For yet a little while.
For yet. In fact, the word Jezreel means seed, or God will scatter. Just the same way you scatter seed. So the word Jezreel means seed in this passage. It means God will scatter. Start again, brother.
And the Lord said unto him,
And the Lord said unto him,
Call his name Jezreel.
Call his name Jezreel.
For yet a little while.
For yet a little while.
And I will avenge the blood of Jezreel.
I will avenge the blood of Jezreel.
Upon the house of Jehu.
Upon the house of Jehu.
And will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel.
And will
cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel.
God says, I will wipe out the house of Israel. That's the northern kingdom with 10 tribes. Read on.
And it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
At that day.
At that day.
That I will break the bow of Israel.
I will break the bow of Israel. The word bow stands for strength and might. Military might.
In the valley of Jezreel.
In the valley of Jezreel. Ladies and gentlemen. Jehu. When Ahab and Jezebel took the sins of Jeroboam to its worst possible limit, God used this man, Jehu, as his agent of retribution. Go for that, Brother Michelle, quick. Thank you for asking me. When Jezebel and Ahab took the sins of Jeroboam. Brother Mitchell, I'm lost. Who is Jeroboam? He was the man who introduced idol worship in Israel as a state religion. Not that a single family was practicing idolatry. You have that. But we're Jeroboam. Make it the official religion of the state and tell God's people that they should not go to Jerusalem to worship. Wait, wait. God wanted them to go to Jerusalem to worship. Jeroboam says, where God sent you to worship is too far. Don't many of you think it's too far sometimes to come to church? That's Satan's doing, you know. So some members stop at the closest denomination. And it never dawned on them that Satan is working. So Jeroboam says, it's too far. I'm going to make it easy for you. He builds some idols and told Israel, those idols were the gods that brought them out of Egypt. Religious foolishness that man will accept. It's incredible. That's right. So God reached the point where he was about to punish the Israelite for this idolatry. The Almighty God used Jehu as his agent of retribution. Second Kings. Keep your Bible, keep a marker in both Second Kings between 9 and 10 and Uzziah chapter 1. Let us hear chapter 9, verse 7 through 9.
And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master.
God is now commissioning Jehu. Jehu, what he said, brother?
And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab,
you,
thy master.
Jehu, shall smite the house of
Ahab.
Ahab,
thy master.
Your master. You see, Jehu once served Ahab. Read on.
That I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets.
I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets.
And the
Jezebel and Ahab kill and make it difficult for many of God's prophets in Jezreel. And they thought that God was silent. God didn't care. Let us not misinterpret the patience of God. Read on.
And the blood of all the servants of the Lord, and the hand of Jezebel, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish.
God says the complete house, the royal family of Ahab shall perish.
And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall.
You should have skipped that word, brother. Okay, sorry, the King James scholar were not as polished as we are. Anyway, read on. What verse are you?
Verse 8.
That verse you have just read, that vulgar word, refers to dog. That even the dog shall be killed. Read on.
And him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door.
The Almighty God going to fix it, that not even a relative to bury Jezebel will be left. And all this was put in the hands of Jehu. Now, additionally, we have the Almighty God complimenting Jehu for a job well done. Listen, God, in the same chapter 10, well, chapter 10 and verse 30. And another brother turned to Uzziah chapter 1, verse 4, quick.
And the Lord said unto Jehu,
and the Lord said to Jehu,
because thou hast done well in executing,
because you have done well in executing
that which is right in mine eyes,
that which is right in mine eyes,
and hast done unto the house of Ahab,
and you have done to the house of Ahab
according to all that was in mine heart,
according to that which my desire wanted,
Thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel.
Shall sit on the throne. The Almighty God is telling Jehu that you and your children are going to be ruler in Israel. So watch here now. One, we have the Almighty God commanding Jehu to be God's agent of retribution. Two, we have the Almighty God complimenting, that is after Jehu accomplished the work in wiping out Ahab and Jezebel's family. The Almighty God complimenting Jehu. Now, listen to this. Chapter 4 of the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 4.
And the Lord said unto him,
and the Lord said unto him,
call his name Jezreel.
Call his name Jezreel.
For yet a little while.
A little while.
And I will avenge the blood of Jezreel.
No, notice now this. I shall avenge the blood of... Wait. Jezreel. Remember, this is the name of a place, not a person. I shall avenge the blood of what? Jezreel. What does that mean? That means the blood that had been shed in Jezreel. There were lots of innocent blood shed there, especially by Ahab and Jezebel. But watch here. Listen.
Blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu.
Mm-hmm.
And I will...
Wait! You didn't hear that. I shall avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house
of Jehu.
Of Jehu. Jehu? God, are you making mistake? This is the man who has been your agent of retribution. This is the man who in 2 Kings chapter 10 you have just complimented for a job well done. How you are going to take vengeance upon him for the blood that was shed in Jezreel? Read it, brother, and I won't disturb you.
Avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. And I will cause to seize the kingdom of the house of Israel.
Are you confused? Are you perplexed? Here we are reading of God's intended judgment and retribution upon Jehu. The same Jehu. How can that be, brother? Mr. and God compliment the man for a job well done? Well, this is what the rest of the lesson we are hoping to clear up the confusion and make application and learn therefrom. The text of Hosea chapter 1 verse 4 speaks about the blood of Jezreel. And it speaks about the blood of Jezreel in reference to Jehu. Jezreel, as I have said a while ago, is not a person. It is a place. In fact, up front, Jezreel was one of the strongholds of Israel. It was the place that was fortified, and the people who lived in Jezreel feel secure and protected. But lots of innocent blood was shed there. Jezreel, may I? Is the place where Ahab and Jezebel, I'm just listing some of the things that took place in this prized Israelite city. Jezreel was the place where Ahab and Jezebel committed many murders, including the murder of Naboth, the man who had a beautiful vineyard inherited from his father. And when Ahab saw the place, it's like a garden and wanted it, he went and cried in the lap of Jezebel, his wife. And Jezebel pat him and said, "Honey, darling, sweetheart, don't let your heart trouble you. I will get it for you." So they wiped out Naboth and his children. But not only that, Jezreel is the place where Gideon, the great warlord of the Almighty God, overthrew the Midianites. Not only that, Jezreel is the place where King Saul of Israel was defeated by the Philistine. Not only that, the victory of Deborah and Barak took place at Jezreel. Not only that, Jezreel is the place where Jehu killed Jezebel and Jeram. Jezreel was Israel what Marathon is to the Greeks. That's right. Jezreel was for Israel what Waterloo is to the British. It was the prize city. Jezreel was Israel, scene of some of the greatest military victory and exploit. Jezreel was the place where Jehu killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezreel was a prize place for Israel. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? Too much innocent blood was shed at Jezreel, including innocent blood shed by God's agent of retribution. That's right. Remember whole Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4. And have 2 Kings chapter 10 ready at all times. What Israel and Jehu was about to learn is that when divine retribution, are we there? Comes. Brother Mitchell, start again so that I will understand you. When the Almighty God ready to bring retribution upon a country, a city, a house, a family, a person, the Almighty God's power shows no respect or regard for the things which its victim glorify and pride themselves in. Let me explain that. When the Almighty God ready to bring retribution, wait up. Do you know God is still bringing retribution upon man? Upon humanity? I believe it's last night I was saying, when I heard of the brazen criminal who went almost at the door of the police station at Hunts Bay. What comes to my mind is that this criminal, unfortunate for him, that he had to die in that condition, but with his bulletproof vest, he thought he could go right inside the jail and shoot up whomever he wanted and walk out because he had a bulletproof vest. He was mistaken. I wouldn't be surprised if the Almighty God was taking or distributing retribution. I don't know, and I'm making it plain up front. My point is, when God ready to bring retribution, nothing we pride ourselves in, nothing we glorify as protecting us, can stand against God's power. Jehu and Israel, they are about to understand that. Are we there? Walled, elevated cities in the ancient world. When a city stand on a hill, elevated. When a city was walled, high wall around it, everybody in that city felt secure. But that's no security against God's retribution. Wall elevated city, military might, noble lineage, wealth, big bank accounts, secure jobs, intellectual brilliance. Are we there? Successful businesses. These are the modern Jezreel of the ungodly. That's right. In the world in which you and I live today, the walled city of the ungodly men and women is the good bank account. Their secure jobs, their wealth, their intellectual brilliance, their successful businesses. But these cannot protect when God ready to act against us. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, may I? God's retribution defies human protection, human opposition, and God's retribution will take the sinner in his strongest and most secure place. God's retribution will take the sinner in the sinner's strongest and in the sinner most secure place. Is that your secure job? Is your secure place your intellectual brilliance? Your education? Is your secure place a successful business? Is your secure place good health? The very thing that we trust in most, when God have reason to move against us, that's where God hit at. Are we there? Are we there? the puzzle, the confusion, the apparent contradiction in 1 Kings chapter 10, 30, 31, and Uzziah. That, we have read that. That is, when the Almighty God, in 1 Kings chapter 10, 30, 31, praised this man for a job well done. And then when after that, the Almighty God is telling us he's going to take vengeance upon Jehu for the blood that was shed, the innocent blood that is in Jezreel. Is God contradicting himself? Has the Almighty God forgotten that he had just showed a praise upon this man? No, the Almighty God does not ever contradict himself. Brothers and sisters, God commanded and used Jehu as his agent of retribution and punishment. Watch here now. Let me try, with your help, to unravel the puzzle, the apparent contradiction. God prays, God ready now to condemn. And it is this part of the lesson that is especially applicable to us, is that Jehu carried out God's command to the letter. Are we there? But sin in the way he carried out God's command. And not only in the how he carried out God's command, but with the motive. With the motive. For the rest of the lesson, we will spend a little time left on looking on this. Because this is important, very important to us in trying to serve God today. Jehu sinned in the way he carried out God's command, and the motive behind his obedience. Ladies and gentlemen, learn this and learn it here. An action formally right and good may yet become sin to us through the motive which prompts us in that action. Something tells me I need to repeat this. Because I could have come here and just repeat this a few dozen times and say to you, that's the sermon for today. An action that was right and good, that action may become sin to us who were engaged in it, through the motive which guide us in engaging in that good action. We have seen a lot of this in the Bible. May I? Judas recommend that the expensive cologne that the woman used to wipe Jesus' feet was wasted on Jesus' feet. It could have been put to better purpose by being sold and the money given to the poor. Now, what a great suggestion! Judas thinking about the poor and needy. But you see, Judas had no great interest in the poor and needy. He was just jealous over the perfume being used to wash Jesus' feet. And if it had been sold, because he was the treasurer. The Bible says that. He was one who kept the money. If it had been sold, he would have been the treasurer keeping it. That makes his suggestion sinful and hypocritical. Are we there? Are we there? When you come making recommendation that a particular brother or sister be helped, make sure your motive is pure. Are we there? Are we there? When you come pointing out the failure or sin of a brother or sister, make sure that before God your motive is pure. Make sure you do not have an axe to grind or a chip on your shoulder in respect to that person. Because anyway that be the case, your noble suggestion become a sin in the sight of God. In all the things we do, there is nothing that poisons our moral and spiritual good deeds as much as corrupt motives. Nothing. Because when we do not even acknowledge that our motive is impure, the Almighty God sees through it. That's right. God always has interest in the why. Not only how you do the thing, why you do it. Always. I dropped my check for $250,000 in the offering plate. I must make sure that pure, singly in my heart is I want to support the cause of Christ. Period. Anyway, there is an admixture that I do not even recognize. That offering becomes sinful for me. I must not come to church because I want the elders to see that I'm here. Are we there? I must come worship because worship is due to the Almighty God. Whenever my motive is otherwise, coming to church becomes sinful. Are we there? I must not get baptized because I see a sister or a brother that I am interested in. Did somebody say that again? Thank you. I should not come and get baptized because I see a brother or sister that I'm interested in. In most cases, if that be your motive, God will not bless that relationship. Because it is corrupt. In fact, talking about corrupt, when the Bible uses words like pure and corrupt, more than anywhere else, it applies to our motive. The why behind our action. May I ask, an action that was previously right and good may yet become sin. Trust through the motive behind it. May I add something to that? The character of an action is determined by its motive. That's the fact. Somebody asked that, I say it again. Thank you for asking. The character of any of our actions is determined by the why we do it. That's what's going to make that action good or evil, not the action itself. What a nice and kind person. Brother Mitchell just gave the man on the street $1,000. He wouldn't give him so much at all. Well, Brother Mitchell may just give it because he knows you are watching and he wants you to praise him. All the things we do in the church, we must always examine. There are so many things I have noticed people do in the church. Pointing out the sin of this person, that person. When you know their motive is not right. And they do not even see that impure. In fact, you talk about impure. They don't even see that the motive is impure. That's one of the deceptions of motive. You can have wrong motive and don't even realize it. You are wondering how this relates to the lesson. Did I just say that the character of an action is determined by its motive? Yes, I said it. But I may add also to that also that an act which is commanded by God might be so done as to become a terrible crime and sin in God's sight, even though it's commanded by God. If the way you carried it, it's carried out, is contrary to God's will, you carry out what God says, you know. But the way it was done are the motives behind it. Jehu, Brother Mitchell, get back to him now. Before the sermon ends, and it's soon end. Jehu sinned because he was seeking his own ends, not God. You see, Jehu was glad that God used him as the person, the agent of retribution. Because Jehu realized that anyway he wiped out the house of Ahab and Jezebel, the other person in line for the kingdom of Israel to become king, would be Jehu. Of course, God had promised it to him. But you know what? He's going to make sure God no forget and that God no slip up. The man carried out some murder that, in brothers and sisters, there was cruelty, are we there? There was deceit, are we there? There was treachery in the way Jehu carried out some of the people that he killed. He would literally trick them. Let me just share just one with you. I have about three or four cases. You may be wondering why the Almighty God praised the man, having used him as his agent of retribution. Why God praised him, and then in the book of Hosea, God is condemning him and telling us that Jehu is up for annihilation and punishment. Why? The man's motive. I may not be able to list all of Jehu's sin, but let me just show you one or two passages. The treachery and the deceit that underlies the man's action. Run to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. Quick, brother. 2 Kings.
Then he wrote a letter the second time to them.
That's Jehu. Watch here now.
Saying,
we are talking about how treacherous, how deceitful, how cruel Jehu was. So don't be surprised when you see God threatening him and his family. Start again, brother.
Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, if ye be mine, and if ye will have...
Wait. Let me give you a quick background to this, because time has started gone. May I have your attention? Quick. You delay in giving me your attention. May I have your attention? After some of his victory, he came to the city and sent message. When Ahab and Jezebel died, their children were placed in the hands of the leaders of Israel. Jehu knew that Ahab and Jezebel's children were secure in a particular place. So Jehu now came and he sent a message to them. Notice the first message was,
if ye be mine.
Not that one. The above that, but we won't read it. I'm relating it quickly. In effect, his message was, since you are keeping the children of Ahab and Jezebel, you all better align yourself with the military leaders and others in your city, because I'm coming to attack. These leaders know that Jehu was the most powerful warlord then in Israel. So they quickly sent message to him and tell him that they belong to him. They are not going to raise harm against him. So then now he sent now a second letter. Yes, brother Jonathan.
If ye be mine, and if ye will hearken unto my voice.
That's in effect what their second letter said. That they belong to him. They will listen to him. They will obey him. Jehu said, if in fact you will submit to my leadership and obey my voice. Watch here now.
Take ye the heads of the men your master's sons.
Everybody there? Everybody there? Take ye the... Not head, you know. Heads. Chop off your head. That's really what... If you are my servant, if you're going to submit to me, chop off the head of Jezebel and Ahab's children. Read on.
And come to me, Jezreel, by tomorrow, this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons.
70 sons. Are we there? 70 sons of Ahab were there, protected by the leaders. Read.
Were with the great men of the city.
You see, but I'm not lying. The great men of the city, the leaders of the city, held them to protect them. Read on.
Which brought them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass,
uh-huh,
when the letter came to them, and they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons.
Y'all hear that? Wow. They killed the 70 sons of Ahab and Jezebel. But that's not where it becomes sour or sweet. Read on.
And put their heads in baskets.
Put their heads in baskets.
And sent them to Jezreel.
May I just, in a few minutes, the sermon will be yours. It is said that what is recorded in 2 Kings 9 and 10 is one of the worst crimes in all history. And that is said by theologian. The act of Jehu that is recorded in these two chapters, 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10, it is among the worst military crime done in history. Read, brother, write again the head of the 70, right there, sir.
And slew 70 persons,
mm-hmm.
and put their heads in baskets.
Put their heads in baskets.
And sent them to Jezreel.
Send the 70 heads to Jehu. Read.
And there came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons.
A messenger came to Jehu and said, they have brought the 70 heads of Ahab's sons.
And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering in of the gate until the morning.
You have to pass, go through the gate. He said, make two heaps. One heap of 35 head here over this side, and another heap of 35 heads over this side, that everybody who passed through the city will see. Read on.
And it came to pass in the morning,
uh-huh.
that he went out.
That's where now I want you to listen. You see, I brought you here. In fact, I'm cutting the lesson short to show you the viciousness of this man. Huh? To show you that Jehu was a man of deceit, cruelty, and treachery. So when you see God condemning, don't wonder. He came to this city in the morning. Read.
That he went out,
mm-hmm.
and stood and said to all the people.
Said to the population of the city.
Ye be righteous.
You claim to be righteous, those of you who live in this city. Wait. You need to get this. That's the city where the head was chopped off. He came there, and he's speaking to the entire population that came out to meet him. He said, you people claim to be righteous. That's what that statement means. Read that little part again about righteous.
Ye be righteous.
You be righteous, which means you claim you are righteous.
Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who slew all these?
You get the drift? I went against my master and killed him. But he was only one person. Watch here. You claim to be righteous. And many of you in Israel talking about how wicked Jehu is. I kill only one man. But he said, who killed the 70? You know what he's doing? He's blaming the city. The very city that he threatened that they should kill the 70 sons. And they are. He's now saying to them, I kill only one, you kill 70. How can you think you are righteous and I am wicked? And you are a wicked people, you know me? 70 you kill. But my God, they did it at his command because they were afraid of him. Brothers and sisters, this is cruelty. It is treachery. It is deceit. So when you see God condemn the man, you can understand. I'm sorry that we have to cut the lesson, because that is just, there's about four or five sins, but the most important point is motive. When what we do, we have hidden agenda, whether we recognize it or not. When we move by hidden agenda, They are hidden from our fellow men, other church members, even from ourselves. They are never hidden from God. When the Bible says, if a man hide his finger, you know, is the word sincere there? That if you are pure in what you do, you try to act above board, and that your agenda is made plain, and before God you don't have any hidden agenda. But let me tell you, it takes knowledge of God's word, and it takes a degree of maturity to be able to examine our agenda. And motive, because motive is deceptive. That's what one of the things that going to bring God's retribution up on Jehu. Let us learn. Let us learn that all the right things we do can be right in themselves. But if the motive is impure, we are under condemnation by the Almighty God. Motive is that which determines the character of any action. Whether that action will be accepted by God, seen as pure and honorable by God, is going to be determined by the why. That is the deep why in our mind, in the sight of God. And even today, if you see your need to align your life with God, because God can bring you and guide you on a simple, pure, heavenly route, God can help you that day by day you purify your motive. God can help you that day by day you act above board. That's what God wants, and that is good for you. You can step forward today and give Jesus Christ your life. Watch here. If you are here today, if you have never gotten under the influence of Jesus' blood, did you know that you may spend the rest of this year praying and fasting? It will not remove your sin until you comply with Jesus' term for the forgiveness of sin. And that terms include repentance and baptism. Those are imperative. There is no way around it. You cannot argue yourself over baptism. Today, if you are here and see the need for a relationship with God, you must accept that you are a sinner. You must be willing to not only believe in Jesus as Lord, as Christ, but to repent of your sin. You must be willing to confess faith in Christ and be baptized for the removal of your sin. That's why the Bible says to Saul of Tarsus, why wait? Get up and get baptized and wash away your sin. But remember, sprinkling is not baptism. That qualifies you to join a man-made church. It does not meet God's condition. To meet God's condition, you must be buried under the water. And we are here to help you. And Jesus Christ is ready to forgive you. He can make you pure both in your motive and your action. We're going to stand and sing a song. It's a chance for you to step forward.